Father, thank you for your word. We're so grateful that we have this word. And I ask, Lord, now that you would teach us, that you would speak to us. Father, I pray that all glory this morning would go to the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming, for saving us. And Father, we want, as your people, to protect our relationships with you, that you would be first place. That our faith would not become a religion, but that our faith would be centered on the relationship that we have with you. We commit this time to you. We ask that your Spirit would move powerfully by your, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The disciples were troubled. In a modern translation here in verse 1 of John chapter 14, you could say that the disciples were freaked out. They were bummed out. They had just spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They had seen some amazing things. They'd watched Jesus raise people from the dead, give sight to the blind, heal the crippled. And in their mind, Jesus was the Messiah who was going to come and set up a literal kingdom right there in Jerusalem, get rid of the Roman Empire, and they were excited. That was who they saw as Jesus. They were looking forward to that day. But as we know, that Jesus in his first visit didn't come to set up his literal kingdom on earth. That will happen, but the first time he came to die, to be the Savior for the sins of the world. But the disciples didn't know that, and on that last night with them in the upper room, Jesus told them some troubling things. He said, "Disciples, one of you are going to betray me." And then he told Peter, who was the leader of their group, you know, Peter, Rocky, the important, outspoken leader of the disciples. He said, "Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows." And that troubled them. And then the thing that troubled them most of all was the fact that Jesus said that he was leaving them. He was going and they wouldn't be able to come to be with him immediately. So they were troubled. So in verse 1 of John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to him, and I love doubting Thomas. I'm glad he voices his doubts, because then we get some classic responses from Jesus. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We've been studying the great I am on Sunday mornings, looking at different spots in the scripture where God tells us who he is, where he says, "I am." 7 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am something." This is the 6th time that he says it here in verse 6 of John chapter 14. And this is the most radical, amazing, controversial statement that Jesus makes. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's an amazing statement to make, isn't it? You got to be pretty sure of yourself to make a statement like that. If I were to stand before you and say, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," Throw rocks at me. Get rid of me. Jesus can stand up and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because He is. He's unique. He's the Son of God. He tells us that He's three things here. First, He says, I am the way. It's the Greek word hodas. And it's a word that literally means a road, a street, a highway, a pathway. Jesus is the road to a specific destination. He's a pathway, the pathway to a specific destination. What destination? Heaven. Jesus is the way that leads to heaven. That's the context of the passage. Jesus has told His disciples that He's going to His Father's house, that there's many mansions there, and that He'll come again for Him and bring Him back. Heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is also the way to God. For He says at the end of verse 6, no one comes to the Father except through Me. Jesus is the way to a relationship with God, fellowship with God, reconciliation with God. So a person will go to heaven by way of Jesus Christ. A person will come into a right relationship with God by way of Jesus Christ. That's what He's saying. I'm the way. There's a wonderful word in the Greek. It's the word prodamos. It's a word that means someone who goes before, someone who's a forerunner. And many people apply that word to Jesus, and it makes great sense. For Jesus as the way blazed the trail that leads to heaven. He opened the way that leads to God. Prodamos would have had a picturesque meaning for the people of Jesus' day. The harbor of Alexandria was very difficult to approach, and when the great corn ships came into it, a little pilot boat was sent out to guide them in. It went before them, and they followed it as it led them along the channel to safe waters. That pilot boat was called the Prodamos. In the Roman army, the Prodamoi were the reconnaissance troops. They went ahead of the main body of the army to blaze the trail and ensure that it was safe for the rest of the troops to follow. That's who Jesus is. He blazed the trail, the pathway, the road that leads to heaven, that leads to a right relationship with God. And He did that by dying on the cross for the sins of the world, that we might be forgiven of all of our sins. He is the way. Without Jesus, there is no going. With Jesus, there is going. You will come into a relationship with God. You will be on the path that leads to heaven. He also says here that I'm the truth. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Aletheia is the word used in the Greek, and obviously it's a word that speaks of facts, information, beliefs, concepts that are free from error, free from falsehood. Information that is accurate and correct. And in the context here, Jesus is speaking about spiritual truth, spiritual matters, divine wisdom, heavenly truth. Jesus is the authority on spiritual truth. He tells us exactly how it is. Jesus has told us what's wrong with the human race, sin. Jesus has told us that there is absolutely life after death. Jesus has told us that there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. Jesus has told us what the solution is for mankind, to embrace Him as their Lord and Savior, and to have their sins forgiven. He's the authority on truth. Factual, objective, divine truth. and he believes in absolute truth, by the way. We live in an age of relativism,
where somebody else's truth, yeah, it can be their truth, but not my truth. And listen,
Jesus is pretty straight up, isn't he? Truth with him is black and white. He is the truth. Without Jesus, there's no knowing. With Jesus, there is knowing. You'll be given spiritual truth, eternal wisdom, heavenly, divine reality in Jesus Christ. And then, he says, I'm the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Zoe in the Greek. Zoe is oftentimes in the Bible used to speak of physical life, and Jesus has in fact given us physical life. He's our creator. But in this passage, it would appear that Jesus is speaking about a different kind of life, a life that's way more important than physical life. Jesus is the source of a wonderful type of life that he can give you this morning if you don't have it. Jesus is the source of spiritual life. The Bible says that before a person gives their heart to Jesus Christ, they're actually spiritually dead. They're not alive to spiritual reality. They don't have a relationship with God. But if a person gives their heart to Christ, they become spiritually alive. They become born again. And Jesus is the source of spiritual life. Jesus is also the source of what we would call eternal life. A higher quality of life. If a person gives their heart to Christ, they're given eternal life at that moment. And they live a higher quality of life right now. And after they die, they will know eternal life in a wonderful way forever with Jesus Christ. Jesus is also the source of abundant life. Abundant life that you can have right now, today. It's a super abundance of life. In knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're given peace. You're given joy. You're given a purpose for living. It's abundant, and you can have that. He's the source of that life today. You know, I was talking to a sister a few weeks ago about a friend of mine who was able to go on this elaborate vacation. And we were sort of talking about, you know, how lucky some people are. And my sister said, yeah, que vida. Que vida. Did I say that right? What a life. Without Jesus, there is no living. With Jesus, there is living. Que vida. It's the best life that you can have. Isn't this an amazing statement that Jesus makes? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And folks, the way he makes this statement says something very, very important that we need to understand about the person of Jesus Christ. And that is, the person of Jesus Christ is central to our faith. It's Jesus himself who is central to our salvation. These are abstract concepts, the truth, the way, the life. And Jesus claims to embody those abstract concepts in his very personhood. And I mention that because you need to understand that the Christian faith isn't about creeds. It isn't about rules and regulations. It's about a person. The person of Jesus Christ is central to your salvation and to your faith. Jesus here doesn't say, let me tell you about the way. Let me give you some directions. Or let me show you the way. Though he does. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus himself is the answer. In his very person. As Bruce mentioned, in a few weeks, I'm going to take a few of us from the church to Israel. we're going to be in Israel for a couple of weeks. Now, I've been there before. I've been there one other time. This will be my second time, first time to lead a group. And I don't know my way around Israel or Jerusalem all that good. I mean, I've been there before, but I don't want to scare those of you who are coming with me. But I wouldn't know how to get to certain hotels and how to get to some of the holy sites and how to get around that. You know, I don't know that. I get lost in El Paso. So pray for the team. No, actually, here's the deal. When we get off the plane in Tel Aviv, I'm going to meet an expert guide for our team. This man has grown up in Israel. He knows Israel. He is the one who's going to be responsible for taking us all around Israel from the north to the south and all the way through Jerusalem. He will be with us. We'll be on the bus with him. In a sense, that guide has become our way. He is the way for us when we're in Israel. Jesus in his very person is the way to heaven. He doesn't just give you directions. He will take you by the hand. He will walk with you every day through this life, and he will bring you safe and secure into the heavenly gates. Amen? Jesus is the way himself in his person. Jesus didn't just tell us about the truth or give us directions about the truth. It says here, he is the truth. He embodied the truth. Jesus is the only preacher who ever lived who truly practiced what he preached perfectly. Jesus lived a sinless life. He showed us exactly how God would expect us to live. He's God in the flesh. He did. He showed us the perfect righteous lifestyle, the truthful way to live. Not only did he preach the truth, he lived it. He is the truth. Jesus doesn't just tell us about the life. He is the life. He himself is the wellspring of life. If you have Jesus, then you have eternal life. If you have Jesus, you've got spiritual life. If you have Jesus, you've got abundant life. And it's not enough just to know about Jesus or have certain facts about Jesus. You've got to know him. You've got to have him. John said in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Listen, those of you who are here this morning, perhaps you're not a Christian. Perhaps you haven't really made a decision. Perhaps you're looking into different religions. Let me tell you something. I am not asking you this morning to sign up for a religion. I am not asking you to join the roster of a local church. I am asking you to consider this morning meeting the most important, powerful, unique person who's ever walked the face of the planet, Jesus Christ. Because you see, Christianity is about the person of Jesus Christ. It's coming to know him. And my brother and sister in Christ, fellow Christians, maybe you've been a Christian for many years, I want to remind you, your Christian faith is about a person. Have you let Christianity turn into a religion? A list of rules and regulations. Oh, let me remind you this morning, your faith is built upon the person of the living Lord Jesus Christ who you have come into a relationship with. Christianity is about hanging out with Jesus. spending time with Him. Don't forget that. Don't lose sight of that. It's being with your Lord. And let me tell you, if you will hang out with Jesus, if you'll spend time with Him, and you'll read your Bible, not just to check it off your religious duty list for the day, but read your Bible to get to know Jesus better, pray to get to know Jesus, listen, spend time with Jesus, you'll do just fine in this life. You'll do exactly what He wants you to do. You'll have courage and strength for the day. You'll have hope in this life and in the next life. You spend time with Jesus, you'll start acting like Him. Have you noticed that? The more people hang out together, the more they sort of take on each other's traits. Look at some married couples that have been around for a number of years. They even start to look like each other. Or look at teenagers. My, teenagers, leave them alone together for a while and they all start talking the same way. Looking the same way. It's even happening with my 5-year-old, Connor. The other day we were having a conversation and he says, "Daddy, I was a part of a race and I was all like running. And I was all like getting tired. And I all like won. And I was all like, what's the deal with all the all likes?" That's Valley Girl speak. Remember the 80s? He's been hanging out with somebody who says all like. If you hang out with Jesus Christ, you'll begin to talk like Him. You'll begin to act like Him. You'll begin to see other people the way He sees other people. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus Himself is the way, the truth, the life. Now, this statement is very controversial. As many of you know, it's a radical statement, and I want to treat that. Jesus is saying, "I am the exclusive way. I am the only way to heaven. I am the only road. I am the only path that leads to heaven." And if you think that it appears like that's what He's saying, rest assured that is what He's saying. Jesus says, "I am the only way. Nobody gets to the Father except through Me. He is the exclusive way." And He says that in all of the previous I Am statements that we've studied. He said, "I am the bread of life. There's no other bread." He says, "I am the light of the world." He doesn't say, "I'm one light among many lights." He says, "I am the door. I am the shepherd, the good shepherd, the only true religious spiritual leader. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ." And that is absolutely true. It's exclusive. Christians are oftentimes criticized because they believe that. The critics will say, "You Christians are too narrow-minded. You're too insensitive to other people's cultures, beliefs." And these people will say, "God is called by many names. The Buddha has their name. The Muslim has their name for God. There's one God, but He's called by many different names. And all roads lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. You Christians are too narrow-minded. All roads lead to heaven." Does that make any sense whatsoever? I mean, physically, do all roads lead to Chaparral? Brother and sister in Christ, not only are we to be narrow-minded about this subject, we're to be close-minded. Jesus is the only way. And before you criticize Christians, you've just read the statement that Jesus made. Christians didn't come up with that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And still, I've had people say, Terry, you're arrogant. You're disrespectful of other people's cultures. You're politically incorrect. You're not sensitive. Listen, I'm not being arrogant. I'll tell you what. I think I'm being very practical. Practical. See, in my practical way of thinking, you choose something that works. Jesus is the only one who works when it comes to the salvation of a soul. The Christian faith is the only one that makes sense. It's the one that works. You pick the one that works. It's like if you got sick, if you were having heart trouble of some sort and you needed to go find a doctor. There's lots of doctors you could choose from. You could go to a veterinarian if you like. Woof! My heart hurts. Woof! You could go to a podiatrist. You could go to someone who specializes on whatever. But if you're sick with a heart condition, where are you going to go? You're going to go to a cardiologist. And better yet, you're going to find the best cardiologist in the city and go to that one. That one works. That's the best solution. Jesus is the only spiritual doctor who can fix the soul. He's the only one. Bible says the trouble with mankind is sin. The trouble with mankind is we don't do what's right. Look around. Isn't that what's the problem? Bible says that the punishment for sin is death. The Bible says that someone needs to die in our place in order for us to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus did so. Muhammad did not. The Buddha did not. Confucius did not. Jesus is the exclusive way. I love the way one author put it. He says, once we have discovered any of the laws that govern the universe, we proclaim them with absolute certainty and admit to no rival laws and theories. For example, in school, we don't find one teacher saying that 2 and 2 are 4 and another that 2 and 2 are 5. Once a physical law has been defined and established, we don't hold that any man's contrary claim is equally valid. The truth of physical phenomena render its laws exclusively. Yet the human mind often refuses to grant that this holds true regarding the laws of the spiritual realm. They prefer to accept the glib assumption that all roads in the religious world lead to God in heaven. The argument goes something like this. There's only one God, and every religion is based on serving and following and worshiping that one God by whatever name they call him. After all, we're all children of the Heavenly Father. Strangely enough, even some who profess to follow the teachings of Jesus blindly ignore his unequivocal statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Just as certain as there are physical laws, there's spiritual laws in the spiritual realm. A sinner plus Jesus equals salvation. Sinner without Jesus equals condemnation. A sinner plus Jesus equals truth. The assurance of heaven. If there was any other way to get to heaven, don't you think God would have found a way? I mean, what did Jesus do to secure our salvation? Did he have an easy time of it? What did he have to do? He went to the cross where he was butchered. His blood was shed so that you and I could be saved and forgiven of our sins. If there was another way to get saved, then Jesus was foolish. In fact, if you remember, Jesus was in the garden and he was in agony. And the night of his rest, his arrest, he prayed to the Father. He said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If there's any other way, Father, find a way." And you know what came from heaven? You know what the answer was? Silence. There was no other way. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus is the only way to heaven because He is the only way to heaven. There's no other way to get it. He died on the cross so we could get it. And you know what? Instead of being critical of that concept, how about praising God for the fact that He opened a way for heaven? Giving us a chance to get right with God. The way of salvation is exclusive. That's absolutely true. But the offer of salvation is all-inclusive. Did you know that? The way of salvation is exclusive, but the offer of salvation is all-inclusive. That is, it goes out to all people on the planet of every race, background. Anybody on the planet can get saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone. Regardless of culture, regardless of background, regardless of race, regardless of gender. Jesus will accept anybody. In fact, in the early church, in the book of Acts, it seems that the early church was criticized because they'd take anybody. It was the only institution at that time that accepted male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, master. All of them were welcomed in. We'll take anyone, and Jesus will still do that today. It's all inclusive. The offer of salvation goes out to all. And you don't even have to change the way you dress or change your culture when you become a Christian. And yeah, that can't be said of some other religions. You know, there's some other religions that when you become a part of their religion, you've got to change your hair or the way you dress. In some religions, you got to even change your name. In the Christian faith, you come to Jesus Christ as you are. He'll accept you and He'll embrace you. And you don't have to start wearing clothes like the televangelists on TV, you know, or get their hairdos or anything like that. You can retain who you are and yet you'll be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The offer of salvation is all-inclusive. And the offer of salvation goes out today, right now. Maybe some of you have just found your way in a gym this Sunday morning. Here you are. Has Jesus become the way, the truth, and the life for you? Has He become your Savior? Oh, He's here and He stands ready to save and to forgive. To breathe eternal life into your soul. To change you forever. My brother and sister in Christ, I want to remind you as we close as well. Your faith is about a person. Don't forget that. Jesus Himself is the way, the truth, and the life. Spend time with Him. Don't forget about that. And I would also say to anyone here this morning that has a troubled heart. Maybe you come and there's a troubled heart in you. Jesus would say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Come to the person of Jesus Christ. Let Him comfort you. Let Him walk with you. Danny, I'd like you to come up and play softly, and I'd like the rest of us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to have a time of invitation here this morning. It is very important that you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And a public decision. And perhaps there might be some here this morning who've never given their hearts to Jesus Christ. They've never gotten saved. They've never been forgiven of their sins. Remember, I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to meet the most important person you could ever meet. And Jesus stands ready to save you, forgive you of all your sins, and put you on the road that leads to heaven. If you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ, then I want you to raise up your hand high so I can see it. Just raise up your hand high. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? Is there more in this place? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. Do you have life? Raise up your hand. For you who did raise your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer now. Just simply go to the Lord for yourself. And just say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Pray that. Lord, be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I admit that I have sinned and I need you to be my Savior. Breathe spiritual life into me, eternal life, abundant life. And help me to follow you forever, Lord. Change me. And then here's what else I want to do this morning. It's important that people make a public stand for Jesus Christ. And that's really what baptism is all about. Tonight, many will get baptized and they'll be making a public profession of their faith in Jesus Christ tonight. If you have never been baptized, I'm going to ask you, as we stand and sing this last song, that you would come forward right now and that you would make a public profession of Jesus Christ and that you would commit to getting baptized tonight. No need to wait. The time is right now to make your public stand for Jesus Christ. So let's stand. Let's sing that song, Take My Life. And as we sing, those of you who receive Christ to be your Savior, you come forward. We'll baptize you tonight. Those of you who need to come forward, you've never been baptized, I would ask that you would do so, that you would make a public stand for Christ. Let's sing. Be the first. You just come right down.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the info.
Who else will come forward and be baptized tonight, make a public stand for Christ?
Take
come
my
forward.
Feet and let them be swift and beautiful. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my
Amen.
silver. That is my
thank you, Lord, that you're so gentle with our hearts and that you're so careful with our lives and that you truly love us and want the best for us. And I thank you, Lord, for these that have come forward. May tonight be a wonderful milestone in their life. I pray for others that still need to come forward, that they would do so after the service, that they'd meet us up here in the front. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.